There's four characters in this book. There's John, there's Gaius, there's Demetrius, and then there's Diotrephes. And each four of these have special things that the book talks about, that the letter talks about. And we're going to end off with Diotrephes tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit about the abuse that he was exercising there in the local church. And we're going to look at some of the scriptural instruction in regards to that type of thing. And so let's go to verse number 1 of 3 John, and let's read this. It says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And that's what we preached on last time. I was talking about having a prosperous soul. And so hopefully you enjoyed that message. It's on the website in case you want to hear that. And it's very good stuff if you want to understand how your emotions work, how your feelings get you in trouble. That's a great message for you, and I have others as well there that will help you with that particular truth. Verse 3, it says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved," this is a great point here about Gaius, "thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, and that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it there for now. And we'll talk about this man by the name of Gaius. We talked about John last time. John the elder, John the pastor, John the one that loves the truth and promotes the truth. And what I want to do now is I want to talk about Gaius for a little bit. We talked about his soul. We talked about how his soul prospered, how his health, John was praying that his health would follow his soul. And many times you find that your physical health has a lot to do with your soul health. And not just mental health, because there's more to your soul than just mental. There's emotion. There's volition. There is your mind, your will, and so forth. And so our soul many times we will have an effect on our physical life. Now we know that Gaius had a very healthy soul. And because of that, we can say these next things about him, where it talks about how that he walked in the truth. And then it goes on to say, my pages are flipping here, keep going over. All right, and it goes on to say here, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." And so what I see first about this man Gaius, who is a charitable man, I see that he was committed in what he did for God, faithfully. This, my friend, is one of the greatest characteristics of a child of God. If you can be faithful, I guarantee you, if you don't feel you have all the gifting in the world, if you don't feel you have the intellect, the good looks, the charm, the talents, the abilities, I'm going to tell you something. If you are faithful, you will stand on top when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ comes, he says, "Will I find faith on the earth?" That is what Jesus is looking for today out of God's children. Don't worry if you're not the greatest piano player or the greatest singer. Some people put so much stock in that. But I'll tell you something, many singers, many piano players, they perform, but they don't walk with God. And they aren't faithful to God. I'm not saying all of them are, but I'm saying they can be. You can have all the talent in the world, and that does not mean that you're a faithful individual. Gaius was faithful in what he felt the Lord wanted him to do, and that was extend hospitalities to the servant of God and those that came through that were doing the work of God, and he would take care of them, and he would provide for them and feed them and give them a place to stay. And so he was a good, hospitable, charitable man. And you know what? He did it faithfully. A verse that came to my mind when I thought about this was Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I find now, later on in my life, in my 50s now, I find that I think a lot more about getting done what I've wanted to get done because I know that my clock is ticking. Amen. Sometimes as a young man, you think I've got years and years ahead, which may not be the truth, but that's the mentality that we have. What we need to do is realize that whatever we're doing, whatever the Lord has brought into our life to do, we ought to do it with our might and do it faithfully, just like Gaius did this faithfully. He was also charitable with God's people. And that's why he said here, whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. That means when he took care of them and they went back or they got before the church family, you know what they'd say? Hey, I'll tell you something. There was a man over there. His name was Gaius. And this man took care of us. I felt that he truly loved us and he provided for our needs. And they spoke well of him. They gave him a good testimony, a good report what God was doing in his heart. And this is something we ought to consider as we look through books like this. It's not always the exciting, heavy doctrinal stuff that we need to focus on. This is what we need to focus on. Because you can have all your doctrine right, but if you're not treating people well, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Gaius was a Christian. He was a true Christian. He was a man that gave himself for others, even though he didn't know him. And that's what it said here to the brethren and to strangers. Amen. Wow. How many of us, if it's stranger, I don't want him to come close to my house. You know, this man would open up his house and say, come on in. We'll take care of you and help you along the way. And so we see the difference that a prosperous soul has in our behavior. Gaius helped those that serve God by providing for them food, lodging, and hospitality. Notice also charity is not a respecter of persons. That means if you're a charitable man, you're not saying, I know you, I'll be charitable to you. But if you're a stranger, I'm not going to be charitable to you. You know, John felt that it was an important thing to mention that he says, you're not only charitable to the brethren, but also to the strangers. And you know what? True Christianity, true spiritual living is not a respecter of persons. That means you don't have your favorites, you know? And that's the way I feel that as a pastor I need to go about. I can't have favorites, but you know, there are those that truly love you and they take care of you and you seem to spend more time with others that don't like you, you know? But at the same time, my actions towards people ought to be the same, no matter who they are. It ought not to be who is giving the most money to the church or who's most sacrificial. We ought never make decisions based upon those type of things. It's based upon our love of people. So Gaius helped God's ministers, whether it was a brethren or a stranger. It was not just about people we know and like. It is about those that he didn't know, those that we don't know, but needed his aid. And we have to look at it. Does this person need me? And we ought to have that kind of heart when people are in trouble, no matter who they are. If we see a car broken down the side of the road, men, not with your ladies, but men, there's nothing wrong with pulling over and seeing if that person needs help and give them a gospel tract or something like that. Ladies, I don't encourage you to do that. Men, you should do that, all right? And so charity is not a respecter of persons. Charity promotes godly ministry. Notice what it says next. This is, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So notice how he brings them forward on their journey. So it's not just that he's taking care of them today and taking care of their food and taking care of their lodging, but he helped them go forward from the place that they were at. Now, how do you do that? Well, you know what? If it'd be today, he'd say, hey, let me put some gas in your tank. if you say, hey, man, my battery's dead in my vehicle. Hey, let me buy you a new battery for your truck. Amen. And these are preachers he's talking about. These are witnesses. These are missionaries that are out there trying to reach souls for Christ and trying not to be burdensome to the people of God. Somebody's got to be the one that God touches and says, hey, I'll take care of that need. Many times as we were along the road, we'd find people that cared about us like that. We had people here in Calgary when we got here in my van. We were spending thousands of dollars getting these vehicles up to snuff. And what this one fellow from the Old Time Baptist Church did for us is he gave us a free front axle for my van. And I did one of those before, and with the labor and everything, that was expensive. I couldn't believe that he just said, Merry Christmas, and gave me my keys. And I thought, wow, that is just so charitable. That truly is the kind of person that Gaius was. And we need to be that kind of person as well. I'm not asking you to fix my van for me, but maybe one day I could fix yours for you. Amen. And so he promoted godly ministry. And notice how it says there, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort. And so it's very important that we understand that there are people that are out there naming the name of Christ that don't necessarily need you to bring them forward. They're doctrinally wrong. They don't have the right spirit. Maybe even their gospel isn't right. We always have to make sure if we're helping people along in ministry that they're after a godly sort, after a scriptural sort, helping these people move forward. And so that's an important thing to put, because there's so many people that we can say, hey, let's help them. But we do have to pick and choose as far as who is the legitimate, as far as what they're trying to bring forward. What we want to do, even when we pick missionaries, we support missionaries. You know who we support? Missionaries who believe like us. I can't support missionaries that don't believe like us. I can't support missionaries that believe in the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit and slaying of the Spirit and all that. I just wouldn't get into that. I don't believe it's right. Amen. And I believe that they got a hold to the right Bible. I would support men that hold up the King James Bible and believe that God has a preserved, perfect word today. Otherwise, I'd say, what are you preaching them? Are you saying that this is perfect or not? You know, the philosophy of ministry is very important. But after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, he says. Then it goes on to say, because that for his name's sake, they went forth. It was for Christ. They're doing these things for Jesus. And when you do it for Jesus, and when they do it for Jesus, and you do something for them, you're doing it for Jesus. Amen? Isn't that what Jesus said is going to happen at the judgment of the nations? When he calls out those people and says, hey, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was a hungered, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And these people said, I don't remember when we did this for you, Jesus. When did I do this for you? He says, that which you have done to the least of these, my brethren, talking about the people of Israel, the 144,000 witnesses that were being arrested and killed and jailed, what you did for them, he said, you did for me. Wow. That's the kind of justice that the Lord thinks about. That's the kind of equity that the Lord has in his mind. And so when we're taking care of good, godly people and helping them to go forward in the ministry, you know what? We're helping Jesus. And that's so important for us. For his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Amen. There is a train of truth rumbling through this earth, and we've got to make sure that train keeps on rolling to every deepest, darkest part of this earth. We need to get the truth of the Word of God there. And there are people that are willing to say, I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do something locally with you, preacher. I want to help out in the ministry. I want to do something here. And you know what? People ought to help you be that kind of fellow helper of the truth as you help the truth as well. And so charity promotes godly ministry. We have to remember whose sake we are doing this for and what we are doing. this for? Jesus Christ and what he's trying to accomplish. We become fellow helpers, co-laborers with Christ as we help others to go forward on their journey. Now that's Gaius. Now I'm going to look at this another man here, Demetrius. And we're going to jump ahead a little bit with Demetrius because I want to get Diotrephes last. And so if we go to verse number 12, it says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. In other words, John is saying, what I'm doing is, I am verifying, I am giving credibility to this servant called Demetrius. He's a preacher that needs your help, Gaius. Help him. He's got a good report with men. It means that people talk well of him. People talk well of him and the truth itself. And that's what he says here. And also the truth has a good report of this man. Wow, what a great thing for the Apostle John to say about that about somebody. I wonder if he'd say that about me. You know, you wonder. And so when you talk about a good report, one thing that comes to my mind is Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So how do you get a good report? By faith. What is faith? Faith is living like you're seeing something that really isn't visible. Faith is something that you can't get your hands on, but in your heart, it's as solid as concrete. It's substance. See, because you believe what God says. You believe what he said in regards to the promises that he has given. And so you live according to that faith. And the Bible says if that's the kind of man you're going to be, that kind of woman you're going to be, that you're going to walk by faith, and decisions you're going to be made are going to be by faith, not by sight, then you will also have a good report of men. Amen? You're going to have a good report of the people of God when you have that kind of faith. And that's what the elders obtained, a good report through their faith. So did Demetrius. And I just wanted to point that out to you because what's happening here, Gaius is helping people along in the ministry. John is giving credibility, saying, yes, these people are worthy of all that you can do for them, Gaius. Please help them. Be a fellow helper to the truth. But you know what? We're coming up to a man now that is working against the work of God. And I want to put out a warning there in regards to this particular type of person. And we ought never to have these attributes in our life ever, ever, ever. And I want to show this to you here. And we're going to look at... Oh, my page flipped again. And we're going to look at verse number 9. It says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Wow, there's some powerful principles in this particular passage right here. I want to talk about Diotrephes. Diotrephes was in all probability the pastor of the church that Gaius was a member of. Gaius was seeking to do right and helping out the preachers and the missionaries and the people that needed help to continue doing the work of God. Diotrephes was working against that. He had the ability to put out the people out of the church. So you don't know for sure if he was the pastor, but he had some kind of influential position where he was able to get people out of the church because of their helping others. Because he would rather have the preeminence than these other people. He was very envious. He was very jealous of other people in the church. And he did these things on his own authority, rather than following scriptural direction. And you got to be very careful of this type of mentality in the church. I heard of one church just recently where they had a family, and that family, because they were well known in there, they had generations of grandfathers in the church, that they rose up an attack against the pastor to get him out of the church, because they thought that they knew better. Wow. I'll tell you something. That church went downhill from that point on. They brought in all kinds of new age, the new contemporary music, and now they're no longer doing anything good for God. See, a pastor is a protector of the flock. And that sometimes pastors get worn out. And you know, I knew of another man, another pastor, that just came to the point where he was so tired of fighting, he just gave up and says, "You want it, you can have it." Oh my goodness. Let us never be that kind of person. Whether Diotrephes was a pastor or whether he was an influential member of the church, be very careful to use your influence to upset the things of God in the church. And so he loved the preeminence among them. Preeminence means to be first. I want to be first. This is a terrible trait of pride, in that he would cast anybody out that would make him feel threatened about losing his preeminent position to the people. It sounds like Herod. When Herod heard that a king was going to be born, he went and searched the scriptures to find out where that was going to happen. And they found out it was going to be in Bethlehem. So he killed all the babies from 2 years old and younger because he didn't want to lose his preeminence. That's the same spirit behind this, even in an independent Baptist church. And that ought never be a part of our church. We ought never to seek to be preeminent in the church, even if we're the pastor. I don't deserve preeminence in the church. Jesus Christ is the one that deserves preeminence in the church. Forget about me. Think about him. Listen to the message. Turn your heart to Christ. Follow him. He says, if I be lifted up, he says, I will draw all men unto me. All men unto me. Oh my, we need to follow Christ. I can't draw all men unto me. Jesus Christ will draw all men. And then we'll know that salvation will come to the lives of so many if we can just lift up Christ in our midst. Amen. Oh, let us never have the preeminence in the church. You know, even the disciples, they would argue. They would argue about who among them would be the greatest in the kingdom. And I want to read one passage here in Matthew 23 and verse number 10. Excuse me. It says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, shall be your servant." I want to tell you something. You think you're great. You think that, hey, I'm something here. Show that by serving somebody. Show that by getting the towel and the basin and taking somebody's stinky feet and wash those feet. That's what a true servant is all about. Not these people that are saying, hey, what about me? Hey, you keep missing me. Why? What about me? Folks, that's Diotrephes. That's preeminence. We don't need that kind of thing. We need to be servants of God. We need to be the lowest servant in the house. Amen. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Then it says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Hey, you want to lift up yourself? You know what that's like? That's like puffing a balloon full of air. All it takes is one little pin, it goes poof. But if you will humble yourself before God as a servant, then God will lift you up. And if he lifts you up, nobody will bring you down. Amen. Let God be in control of that aspect. Amen. There's another passage I want to bring up here in Matthew. If you want to bring that up there, please. In Matthew chapter 25, is it? 20. This is what it says. Matthew 20, verse 25. It says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Wow. Jesus Christ is laying down some foundation. The next passage, you know what it says? He's using himself in his example. It says, even as a son of man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the place of a pastor in a church. We are not to exercise dominion like some boss over an employee. That's not right. That's not the way God planned the church to operate. God planned the church to operate by servitude. We have to serve one another. Amen. Now, I understand someone needs to make the decisions. Someone in the church has to decide, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to run the service. Can you imagine if I asked everybody, how should we run the service? Oh my goodness. You know what kind of service we would have? It would be crazy. So what you need to do is allow your pastor to have the freedom to choose how he wants the service run. Because then we can do things smoothly. Amen. That's not exercising lordship over you. That's simply making sure things are done decently and in order. I'm not controlling anybody's life. I'm not trying to exercise dominion over you and all the decisions and all the things that you need to do. I'm not telling you who to marry and who not to marry. I'm not telling you when to go on vacation, when not to go on vacation. I may give you principles from the scripture that'll help you in those decisions. And you ought to pay close attention to that and make godly decisions so that God can bless you. But you know something, it's not up to a pastor to exercise dominion. That's not what Jesus planned. But yet he left the pastor to oversee the church and to make sure things are done decently and in order and to protect the church from false doctrine coming in. And I'll guarantee you this, someone comes into our assembly and they start bringing a false message, this preacher is going to stand up in between you and them and say, this isn't right. You can't do that here. And I'm sorry, that's not exercising dominion. That's just simply being a shepherd. That's just simply protecting the flock from the wolf. Amen. And I'll continue to do that till Jesus comes, whether you like it or not. That's just the way it's going to be. That's what happened to this church out there. The pastor was pushed out. What came in? Ungodliness. Because the man of God wasn't there to chase off the wolves. Amen. Loveth to have the preeminence. So we need to understand this. When it comes to the pastoral office, we're not here to exercise dominion over your life. And I want to show you something. Pastor is not to lord over the heritage of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 3, this is what it says. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Lord means to have dominion over, to exercise authority. To say that somehow I have the authority to tell you how to run your life, and if you don't run it the way I like it, I'll come down on you. That's not right. Now, you ought to have the sense to live your life right. You ought to have the sense to follow the word of God as it's being preached to you. Amen. And by the way, there has to be a certain level of godliness within the boundaries of the local assembly. You can't just go and do what you want. But the Lord lays out those guidelines. The Lord tells us how far is too far. It's not up to me. It's me. I got to stand up and say, this is what we got to do. But I'm not going to exercise authority over your life. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Because they're God's heritage. That's an awesome thing. I got to be careful of messing with God's belongings. You belong to God. Who am I to think that I can somehow hurt you? Being a possession of my God in heaven, and I'm a servant of God, I should love the children of God. Amen. Not abuse them. God's lot, God's people. That's what the word heritage means. It means allotment. The allotment given. And you know what? You are the allotment of God. And God's people belong to God. and how we treat God's people is going to reflect upon how God will treat us. Amen. When we see him face to face. I can never forget that the people of God are God's and not mine. I've been given responsibilities in the church and will do them, even if there are some that would criticize my choices. But I can never exercise authority to dominate anybody's life that belongs to God. You need to learn to follow the Word of God. You need to learn to follow the Holy Spirit prompting in your heart. That's my biggest chore. That's my biggest responsibility, is to help people listen to the voice inside, that Holy Spirit guiding and directing, to teach you how to study the Bible and to learn what God wants to tell you. And you know what? He may use me to tell you some things, but you have to be the one to want it. You have to be the one to chase after it. You have to be the one to have the desire for the things of God. I cannot bring a heart of desire into a man's soul. It's impossible. A man must choose for himself how much he desires God. And that's going to make the difference between blessing and cursing in our lives. Amen. We need to decide. The Bible says I'm not supposed to be a lord over God's heritage, but be an example. An example is a prototype. It's a pattern. I ought to show you this is how we're going to do it, and you ought to follow after. I'm going to give you an example of a man who gave me a great illustration one day. He said he had some sheep, and those sheep got out of his fence in the backyard, and they ran out into the field. And he tried to go get them, and so he ran out, and he tried to push them back into the yard and run around and chase them and drive them. But you know what? They wouldn't listen. They would just scatter all over the place. And that's why the Bible says in Jeremiah, "Woe unto the pastor that scattereth the sheep." Amen. We ought to never drive people, push them. That's cattle. The people of God are not cattle. Amen. The people of God are like sheep. He says, we tried so hard to get those sheep to get back into the fence, but they just kept scattering and scattering. Finally, he just gave up, and he just turned around and walked back to the house. And he says, as I was walking back, I looked behind me, and all these sheep started following me. Amen. That's what it means to be an example. We don't drive the people. We go ahead of the people. We stand in the front and we say, hey, let me show you. We should be the first one to get the hit. We should be the first one to take the hit. We should be the first one to set the example. We should be the one to go ahead, not wait for everybody else to cater to us. Respect me because I'm great. I'm not great. I'm just got a calling, and I need to do something for God, and that's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to do it until Jesus comes, or until my breath leaves my body for the last time. And I hope that one day Jesus will look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to do my best to do that. In order to do that, I need to be an example, not a lord over God's heritage like Diotrephes was. It's an example of servitude. Sacrifice. We need to sacrifice for others. Gaius was this kind of man. Gaius was willing to give everything he had to help the people of God along. And we ought to have that same kind of heart. God, give us these kind of people at Energy Baptist Church. And if you want to come to this church and you want to be the preeminent one, you want to be the one on top, you think you're something, I'm number one, please don't hurt the people of God. Then I will stand in the front and I will protect the flock of God. Do not hurt our people. Amen. And I hope there's someone out there saying, amen, preacher. God, give us men like that. God, give us men in the church that will stand up for the people of God in the church. Not condemn, not criticize, not tear down, not belittle, not destroy, but build. Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of preeminence. Sometimes our stinking pride makes, it ought to make us want to vomit. It's so ugly. Thinking that we're something before God and we're nothing. In Colossians 1:18 it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Oh, we could preach some good messages sometimes as preachers, but you know, they only get good when we get out of the way. We need to stop talking about ourselves, stop talking about how great we are, and start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how great He is. We need to get out of the way. We need to lose our identity. We need to lose everything we think good about ourselves and just make Jesus Christ is the only one worthy to be lifted up and glorified in Energy Baptist Church. We sometimes perhaps do not preach ourselves blatantly, but we hold up ourselves as the shining light rather than Christ. We seek to instill dependence on us rather than Christ. And I'm going to tell you this straight from my heart, and I've been in the ministry now 20 years, and I've seen it come from all different directions. I'll tell you my heart in this. My desire is to help you follow Jesus. Be dependent upon Jesus. I want you to learn how to ask God for things. I want you to learn how to get the qualifications. Maybe you've got a loved one, a son or a daughter, and you want them to be married and so forth, and you should know what kind of son-in-law or daughter-in-law ought to be brought into your family. You ought to have a scriptural basis for your decision as a parent, because you're the one that gives the blessing, by the way. You don't need a pastor to rule over you. You need to put Christ as your example. You need to say, hey, I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. I want to have the family that you want me to have. And don't worry about all the judgmental people out there. Everybody thinks they're right. You just do what God wants you to do from the Word of God. He would not help John, this Diotrephes, or those associated with him. He actually even rejected the Apostle John. The Bible says he receiveth us not. Boy, and sometimes I'll tell you, some pastors can have a very bad inferiority complex where they feel if anybody else better than them comes along, that people won't like me or I won't be lifted up. Folks, I'm glad when there's a better preacher than me. I'm glad if there's a better pastor than me. All I know is God brought me here. This is what God has for me to do, and this is my responsibility, and nobody's going to do it for me. That's all I need to do is continue forward. And anybody else that's greater than me, praise God. Praise God. You go do a greater work than I could ever do, and we'll get behind that. Amen. Receiveth us not. They wouldn't show them kindness. They wouldn't show them hospitality. They refused to show that kind of kindness to these men. He would speak against John and these faithful preachers. He says, wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds, which he doth prating against us with malicious words. That means to overflow with talk, to chatter or to prattle. In that, this pastor felt so threatened that he would lose control over the people. He would talk evil about them to manipulate their thinking and their loyalties. Hey, you know what the world does? The world tears people down to lift themselves up. That ought not be the children of God. You don't need to tear other people down to make yourself look good. You know what that is? I've explained this before when Abraham Lincoln had mentioned that character is like a tree and the shadow is like the reputation that the character casts. And many times we're far more concerned about making the reputation look good than actually dealing with our character. And we manipulate shadows. And that's how worldly relationships are. Worldly relationships try to manipulate the way people think about certain people so that we look better. When in all reality, all we got to be concerned about is being who God wants us to be. And that, my friend, is the only shadow you need to cast. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, made himself of no reputation. He says, I'm not concerned about casting a shadow. My shadow will cast itself. I'm just going to be the Son of God that gave his life a ransom for many. And I'll tell you, that shadow has been cast upon ages of humanity and all the way to the future. And we see exactly who Jesus Christ is. And he's the only one that never really was concerned about his reputation. This man, he would cast out of the church those that showed hospitality and support for the servants of God that were seeking to glorify God. He was controlling these people in such a way where he says, you can't even help these people. If you help these people, you're out of here. Oh, God, help us with pastors that shoot off their mouth from the pulpit where they start talking about, I'm going to kick you out of here if you don't like my way or the highway. It's an ungodly man. Preachers, you got to love your people. If there's somebody not doing right in the church, you go to them personally and you shut your mouth over the pulpit. Never use this precious sacred desk as a place to get your personal vendettas out against the people of God. And I realize sometimes when you're saying things and you're saying certain doctrines, it's going to step on people's toes, and you know it because you know your people. But you're never doing it to get at anybody personally. Because you love them. You would give your life for them. Not embarrass them. Not tear them down in front of everybody else. Oh God, help us with men like that. They ought to be pulled out of the pulpit. That is not Jesus Christ, nor is that a servant of God. Well, that's just my opinion. Take it for what it is. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. A pastor cannot just cast someone out of the church for these type of reasons. The church must enact discipline after one that has been approached privately. There's scripture on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Matthew chapter 18. And if they're not going through those steps, they're not right with God. This ends off with a principle. There's a principle that we must follow that which is right. Those that would lead us to do evil have not seen God, and we ought not follow that kind of evil, ever. Don't ever let your loyalties towards a person take you down a path to do evil. That's where you have to say, I love you, but I'm not going to violate my relationship with my God over your issues. And if I would ever ask you to do something wrong, I hope you would tell me straight in my face, I can't do that, preacher, because that's just not right. Amen. And I'll do the same to you. How's that? And we'll keep ourselves accountable. In verse 11, it says, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. We all have personal responsibilities. We all have to take care of ourselves and our walk with God. We cannot become blind followers of the blind. Follow, the word follow means to mimic. Don't mimic, imitate. It's amazing how easy it is for people to begin to mimic those that they want to follow or want to get the respect of. No matter what they do, even if they do evil sometimes, they mimic them. Don't follow evil. That means mimic something that is bad or worthless. Imitate good. That means mimic the good. That which is beneficial, that which helps. See, Gaius did the right thing by being committed to helping God's servants on their journey forward. He did the right thing. And there ought nobody tell somebody like that, say, no, you can't do that. You can't help the people of God. And God helped me as a pastor to become so envious, so jealous at someone else that I would be jealous and I wouldn't want you to help somebody else that needs their help. We cannot do that. I don't want to be a Diotrephes. That's against my whole desire of pastoring. I don't know how many years the Lord has left for me as a pastor. But I'll keep doing it until Jesus wants me to stop. But you know something? If I'm going to do this, I want to do this the right way. I want to do this as a servant. I want to serve people. And you know what? It's going to cost me some things. It's going to hurt sometimes. And you're going to get stepped on. And you're going to get abused sometimes. Servants get stepped on. That's just all there to it. As soon as you don't come off as a big, brash bully, people have a tendency to walk all over you. If you're the kind of person that's quiet and humble, you've probably been hurt a lot. But you know what? You keep being servant. You keep being a servant. Don't let those bullies stop you from doing the right thing. They will meet their maker, but so will you. Follow that which is good. Keep doing good. Oh, let Energy Baptist Church be an example to the world of what a church ought to be. But that's going to be all of us choosing together. I want to be a pastor that glorifies God. You be a man, an influence in the church, a lady in the church, a child, a teen in the church that glorifies God. And I think God's going to bless us. That's what I want. Folks, I'm not following a man's pattern here. I'm trying to learn from 3 John to say, you know what? I do not ever want to be a Diotrephes. And if you think you have influence over people, please do not be a Diotrephes. Be a Demetrius, be a Gaius, be a John, but don't be a Diotrephes. God does not bless that. I want Jesus Christ to be preeminent in this church. And I believe we can make that happen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, that we can be underneath the sound of the Word of God. And Lord, your Word tonight has hit home for me. Oh, Lord, help me be an example. Help me be a servant. Help me to minister. Help me to give my heart, my life, to my family, to the people of the church, that I can help people in this city. Oh, Lord, open up those doors that we can do great things for you. And I pray that all of us, under the sound of this word tonight, would make a decision to be a servant of God. And I know that's a great heritage, Lord. And I know you'll take care of us. I know we're easy to step on. But dear God, you are our master. You are our protector. You're our shield. You are our reward. I just pray you bless each one tonight. Help them in their decisions to move forward for God. Oh, Lord, we pray for Kevin once again. Lord, please touch his body. Give him grace and strength and healing. And, Lord, be with our aspect of getting a building to meet in. Lord, there's so many things out of our control, but, Lord, you are God. And we come to you and humbly ask you, Lord, to fight for us. And, Lord, I just pray you to answer our prayers. Seal these decisions to our heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We will see you once again Wednesday at 7 p.m. And hopefully we'll have something to talk about at 8 p.m. And so make sure you're there with our Zoom meeting. All right. God bless you. Love you very much. Have a great evening. Enjoy your families. Amen. Bye-bye.